Glean podcast. We're back in the saddle and live tonight. We appreciate everyone's patience as we have done some upgrading and then got on the Spectrum, and hopefully we're trusting that they've got our issues fixed on their end. But without further ado, we're going to jump into this tonight, and we're going to talk tonight about five lies of the woke church. And some of you may say, well, what is the woke church? Well, that's a church that is preaching unbiblical doctrine, or they're taking scripture and building undoctrinal or unbiblical ideologies and things out of it. And basically what it is, you'll find that, you know, Jesus said in the last days, the first thing he said before he went into wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and divers places and all this, the first thing he said is, see that no man deceive you. And I think a lot of times we look for the deception to come from, you know, maybe a prophet or someone proclaiming to be Christ himself, a Messiah. We've seen those. But the other way we look is possibly through our government, which we're definitely seeing a lot of deception there. But where we're not looking is we're not looking in the pulpit. And, you know, and I'm not here to, again, to throw shade on pastors, because I am one. But at the same time, I believe that if we see a place where churches are getting in error, then we need to sound the alarm, because what's happening is sheep are being led astray because they're putting all their trust in what comes from a pulpit. And, you know, as I've said on here many a time, and I've said it from the pulpit many a time, don't just take my word for it. Get in the Word of God for yourself. You know, yesterday at our prayer breakfast, we read in Psalms 138, verse 2, where Jesus here, he exalts his word above his name. And, you know, so we need to understand the importance of reading God's word, getting in the book, it's life to us, you know, and understanding what it says. And sometimes, you know, I've been studying the word and maybe had a belief system on something or a thought process about something. But then when I begin to understand through scripture and studying it, that it's a little different, then I have to not change what the scripture says, but I have to change my view of something or my thought process on something. Why? Because it has to line up with the Word of God. And some people say, well, the Bible's outdated and the Bible is just a book of fables and things like that. But Jesus said that, you know, we have a more sure word. He's exalted this word above his name. And if, according to scripture, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then he goes in Psalms and says that, not only is his name exalted and not only is his name all powerful, but he's even took the word of God and exalted it above his name. And some people say, well, the Bible is not Jesus. Well, I have a problem with that, because if you also read in the Bible, in the book of John, at the very first part of that, he says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. And then it goes on down about verse 12, 13, or 14 there. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, who became flesh and dwelt among us? No other than Jesus himself. So if Jesus dwelt among men, but in John it says the Word became flesh, then you have to automatically understand, without a whole lot of thought process, that if you go back to the beginning of John and it says, in the beginning was the Word and the Word was God and with God, then who is the Word? Jesus. So Jesus is saying here that the Word, he's even exalted above his name. So we'll get in the Word, you know, and understand the truth, because what is happening is there's, you know, we didn't know a few years ago the term woke, you know, but now this woke, which is an ideology, it's a system, it's a destructive system. It's, we've seen it first in our government. We've seen it in different agencies. We've seen it in our school systems. We've seen it in businesses, entertainment. But where we failed to look in a lot of places, or in a lot of cases, I should say, is we have not looked at the church. And this has been going on. It's not something that just happened, but it's now become I'm not really sure for, I don't know what word you, but it's become a theme, not only in society, but also in the church. And I begin to look over some things today as I was reading a few articles, and there's five lies that I believe are the five major lies that you'll find in a woke church. And if you're watching this, the one thing that if you go to this church, you'll know that we are not a woke church. We are an awake church. Why? Because we're awake to knowing that the coming of the Son of Man is imminent. It could be at any time. Jesus could return before this broadcast ends. Are you ready to meet him? You know, so when we begin to look at these things, some of you that you may be watching, or you may watch this at some point in time on our YouTube channel, and you may not attend this church, you may live far away and can't. But these are things that you need to look at to determine, is my church woke, or is my church awake? And one of the very first things is marriage. The first lie of the woke church and this woke ideology is marriage. And, you know, while we have seen a decline on some parts of divorce, which is a good thing, on the flip side of that, we've seen this massive push of, you know, should a marriage be between a man and a woman, or could a marriage be between two men, or two women, or a man and two women, or two women and three men? You know, they're trying to redefine marriage. And according to government, if government is not of God, then they can define marriage however they want to, but it doesn't mean that God looks at marriage any other way than what the Bible says. And according to a couple of Gallup polls that were taken in 2023, it says that 71% of Americans think same-sex marriage should be legal, and 64% believe gay relationships are morally acceptable. These numbers are way up from just a generation ago, where only 27% thought gay marriage should be legal. And in 1996, only 40% thought that it was morally acceptable. Among those who attend church every week, 41% support same-sex marriage. Now, I know some people go, well, that's still less than half. Well, that number should be zero. You know, if you are a believer in Christ, if you claim to be a Christian, then everyone that attends church, that's supposedly what they claim, then they should, these numbers imposed should be 0%. Now, this is not to say that we hate homosexuals, or we wish ill will upon them. No, we love them. But we hate the sin that they're living in, you know, and the problem with this is we can disagree with them, and it's this big, massive hate issue. But if they disagree with us, it's called enlightenment. You know, we have taken out in our society the ability to agree to disagree. But 41% of regular churchgoers do not have a biblical view of homosexual marriage, because of this, it's causing these problems. And, you know, you say, well, how did 41% of Christians that attend church, how did they come to this? Well, it's because they have pastors or preachers, shepherds in the pulpit that have taken on this woke ideology, mainly because it's the fear of, you know, if I preach this, I'm going to get some hate mail, or if I preach this, you know, it might draw attention to me, or if I preach this, we might lose church members. And if I preach this, it'll sound hateful. And, you know, and God's not a God of hate. God's a God of love, which I'll get into that a little more on in the podcast. But what we have to understand is, you know, it doesn't matter what your view is. It matters what God's view is. And the question is not, should the church accept it? The question is, should your view, if it doesn't line up with God's view, whose view should change, yours or God's? Well, that's a real simple answer. Your view's going to change because the Bible says that he is God and he changeth not. You know, he said that he's not a man that he should lie. So whatever God says and says in his word is the truth. And according to Genesis chapter 5 and verse 2, he tells us in the very first book of the Bible, God tells us what marriage is. And in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 2, he said that he created them male and female, and he blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. There was only two genders created, and it was male and female. And the whole purpose of being together, if you go back in chapter 3, I believe it is, he talks about he has called these two. It says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined with his wife, and these two shall become one. Why? What is the purpose of that? Well, the purpose of the marriage and that union, it's there in Genesis where he says to be fruitful and multiply. Well, until recently with technology and medical developments, the only way that you could be fruitful and multiply was that it had to be a man and a woman. That's the only way that you could multiply. There, in any other species, there's no way that you can multiply having two of the same sex being joined together. The purpose was to multiply in the earth. So if you cannot multiply, then, you know, that's an issue. Now, you know, a lot of people say, well, you have to understand the times and the days that we're living in. I absolutely understand the times and days we're living in. That's why it's imperative that we call out this wokeness, this virus that is trying to seep into the church of God and destroy people. Because, you know, you can go a few podcasts back, and we did one calling out, you know, the Methodist organization, and several different ones, the Presbyterians. The Baptist has even fallen for this, accepting homosexuality, and not only accepting it, but ordaining homosexuals to lead the people. And whatever, I don't understand how they can do this and then get up and preach the word, because you can't skip parts of the word of God just because you don't like them. You know, it's like I tell people all the time, yeah, we all have our favorite scriptures in the Bible, and we all like to talk about our favorite scriptures. What we don't like to talk about is what is our least favorite parts of the Bible. And yes, we all have those. I've told people numerous times, my least favorite scripture in the Bible is where Paul said that we had to crucify our flesh daily. You see, yeah, I don't like to crucify my flesh. Why? It takes work. Sometimes I do a good job of it. Sometimes I fail miserably at it. but it takes me doing work. And when I crucify my flesh, it hurts. It causes pain. It causes frustration. But the more you do it, the less problems you have with that area of your flesh. You know, that's one of the big things I think we as believers, we misunderstand is sometimes we think once we get saved that we'll never have any more trouble, any more persecution or problems because according to the Bible, Jesus has already defeated Satan. The Bible says that he made a show of him openly, you know, in front of all his friends. And then it said he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from him. He snatched them out of Satan's hand and he began to restore what the enemy had taken from mankind. So yes, the enemy's been defeated. Our problem is not Satan. Listen to me. Our problem is not so much Satan as it is our flesh. Now, that's not to say that, yeah, we're going to be attacked by Satan. There are things that's going to happen that are attacks from the enemy. The Bible plainly says that. But a lot of times, most of our problem is our flesh. It's what do we, you know, what are we taking in? I mean, if you're dealing constantly with worry and anxiety and depression and fear, what are you watching? What are you reading? Where are you spending the majority of your time? The people you hang around, what's coming out of their mouth? Are they speaking life or are they speaking negativity? You know, so that's having to crucify my flesh. You know, I'm having to push things away that I used to do and get in God's word, because you cannot get in God's word and not find peace. You cannot get in his word and not find joy. You cannot be in his word and not find that comfort that comes through the Holy Spirit leading you through scriptures in the Bible. So we have to begin to look at these things, and we have to realize that this woke ideology that's coming in the church, they're letting people that are taking parts of scripture and doing away with them because it doesn't fit their lifestyle. And that's the biggest problem with all of us, because if you can allow a homosexual, because that's their lifestyle, if you can allow them to be ordained and you can allow them to preach from a pulpit, now we're talking from a sin level, then you would be a hypocrite not to allow a prostitute to come in off the street, continue to prostitute, but yet ordain them so that they could preach the gospel. You would not be able to turn down a pedophile. Now, I know a lot of you, I probably lost you there because hardly anybody likes pedophiles, but yet sin is sin in the eyes of God. So if I'm going to ordain a homosexual to be in a pulpit, then I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't allow a pedophile to stand in the pulpit or allow that pedophile, how about this, go teach my children's church. Oh, no, we can't have that. Well, why? Because you're allowing sin in the pulpit for the adults. What's the matter with that? You know, so it's one of those, what they don't realize, these churches, is it's a very slippery slope. And once you step into that slope, there's no coming back. You slide right off into the pit of ridiculousness and sin. You know, and you can look at the Catholic Church. And there's a lot of great Catholic people, but their own Pope, the head over all of it, you know, will not come out against homosexuality and homosexual unions. They won't come out and speak the truth, you know. So at some point in time, we have to look and go, well, now, wait a minute. What does God's word say? Not what did Pastor so-and-so say? Not what does my denomination approve of? What does God's word say? You know, and it's like I've said a few times before, if Jesus was here now, he would be sent out on a leave of absence and probably sent to some kind of rehabilitation, because what Jesus would preach would not go over in probably 90% of your churches today, because people would say, well, it's too hard. That's too hard. You know, but yet, you know, they don't have a problem with allowing a little sin in. Why? Because it's easier to let a little sin in. It's harder to crucify that flesh. And that's why we're seeing these things running all over a lot of churches. You know, they don't want to preach against sin because why? It's against the flesh. It's going to hurt somebody's flesh. It's going to hurt somebody's feelings, you know. And when you have to crucify that flesh, well, that causes pain. It causes discomfort. And, you know, God forbid if I preach a message that's the truth of God's word and it offends somebody and they leave. Well, you know, you might stand accountable before God if they got offended and left the church. If I'm preaching the truth of God's word, and if I'm preaching it exactly the way the scripture says, and somebody gets offended, that's on them, not on me. I'll stand accountable for preaching the truth of God's word. Jesus said he was the rock of offense. So why do preachers get off thinking that everything they preach, we have to make sure that in any way we preach it, it can't be offensive to somebody? All that's doing is putting a blanket around sin, patting it on the shoulder and telling it, well, you'll be all right. Just let him get done preaching. You know, and you know, how many of you would like to see the biggest drug dealer in your community walk in with his Bible, a bag of weed, and get up from the pulpit and preach? Well, no, we can't allow him to do that. But yet you'll let a homosexual get up or a transgender get up and preach the word of God. So if you say that they're allowed to preach that, then you need to give me scripture. You need to give me chapter and verse where we're supposed to allow that in the pulpit. But I think that's part of the problem is the Bible says not to put a novice in the office of a prophet, which there the word prophet, it's more leaning towards the fivefold ministry or in the office of ministry there. But I think that's been the problem is these seminary schools and theological schools that we're sending people to become ministers now, that's what they're sending back out is novice. They're not sending out anybody with a good grounded biblical education. So they don't know how to preach against sin. And if they do preach against it, they might lose members and, you know, lose money because they're more concerned about what the world views them as, you know. The church is supposed to be the cool place that everybody wants to go. Well, that sounds great. But in order to make the church the cool place that everybody wants to go, you're going to have to start compromising the word of God. You're going to have to start compromising how you share the gospel, how you preach and what you preach. Why? So that it makes it cool for everybody. Now, don't go back and say, well, Pastor West said not everybody could come to church. No, everybody's welcome. Just like the Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's everybody that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes, that's everybody, would believe on him, would live and not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, there's choices all through here that you have to choose. The Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. You see, every day it's a choice. Am I going to live for God or am I choosing to live for my flesh and live in sin? And when you allow this into the church and they allow all of these people, then you can't turn anybody away that is in blatant sin. Now, I would be the first to tell you, homosexuals are welcome here. They can come here, but they're not going to act out their homosexual lifestyle in this house because I would not allow sin no more than I'm going to allow a drug addict to do drugs in this church or an alcoholic to drink alcohol. And I'm not going to allow pedophiles to be around children. Is a pedophile welcome in this church? Yeah. Cause if they have an encounter with Christ, he'll change their life forever. He'll redeem them and set them free. But I'll put safeguards up to make sure. It's called common sense, which I think a lot of times the church thinks that we don't have to have any of that, but we need a lot of it. You know, it's like Mario Murillo said, we've become so open-minded in the church that our brains have fell out. Why? Because we're not using any common sense on any of these things. Moving on, number two is the profession, or people are saying now there's more than one way to come to go to heaven. You know, yeah, we've preached all these years that Jesus is the only way, but what we're beginning to find out is every person's path is different, and however they come to the acceptance of heaven and God, then, you know, they're cutting Jesus completely out. They don't use his name, just God now, which they don't even understand the Trinity, so they've missed it altogether anyway. But Gallup also posted a poll in 2023 that shows 24% of professing Christians and Catholics, I'm a little rusty. It's been 3 weeks. This is on abortion. I'm sorry. This is on abortion. These statistics here. But a Gallup poll from 2023 shows that 24% of professing Christians and Catholics believe that abortion is morally okay, and that is a 6% increase from 2019. So in less than, or basically 5 years, that's a 6% increase. So if that's in 5 years, what will it be in another five? What will it be in another 10? What will it be in another 20? If these things are not confronted and we're pastors preaching biblical truths from the pulpit, whether people like it or not, abortion has come back up in headlines majorly now. You know, we all, not every church celebrated when Roe versus Wade was overturned. I know we did here, but it, you know, a lot of people thought, well, abortion's done. Well, if you do your research, ever since abortion or Roe versus Wade was overturned, do you realize that last year in 2023 was one of the largest years for abortion in the United States of America? But yet to hear our government, oh, we're just trampled all over women's rights. I mean, you know, they, God forbid to murder a baby, they got to drive to another state. You know, that shouldn't be. But yet we'll send people out of state to get treatments for cancer or brain surgery, or may even fly them overseas. But, you know, they're pushing this narrative to get people into this whole, you know, women's health. It's all about women's health. Not concerned with the baby or the human life on the inside of her womb, you know, and they're trying to push these things out. And what's happened is now the church, because we've got pastors that won't stand up, that are worried about preaching against something because it might hurt somebody's feelings, they're starting in the church more to have people, well, we don't know that, you know, there's variation. We have to be careful how we handle this. No, we don't. Abortion is murder. I mean, it's just cut and dry, plain and simple. You can argue all day long, but at the end of the day, the conclusion is always the same. Abortion is murder. And when Christians begin to stand up and say that abortion is right under certain situations, well, now you are trying to take what the Word of God says and go, well, let's tweak this and twist this and let's change this a little bit because we don't like what it says. Because I don't want to look at somebody that's wanting to have an abortion and tell them if they do that they're a murderer. Well, that's what they are. You know, abortion is just a fancy word, a term or word they use for murder, you know. And it's amazing to me, and I have said this in the past, but we can have become pregnant and we can go to a clinic and abort a baby in some of the most grotesque and sinister ways possible that causes excruciating pain to that child while it's in the womb. We can do that, and that's women's health. But now let's take a pregnant woman, and let's say that that woman was on her way to the abortion clinic to have an abortion, and she's hit by another vehicle in a car accident, and her and the baby dies. Do you know that that person that hit them would be charged with double homicide? Well, why is that? Because y'all don't, the court systems and the government don't consider that baby a life. It's just a blob. You see how their double standards work and how now these things are beginning to creep into the church? But you see, the Bible states that human life begins not outside the womb, like, Gavin Newsom and those other educated idiots in our government want to say. They say that life begins outside the womb. You know, they even want to propose a bill in some places where you can actually give birth to the child, set it over to the side while you decide whether you want to keep the child or abort the child. You know, that's how grotesque these people are, and it's creeping into the church. You know, so if the Bible says that, human life begins in the womb, that automatically makes abortion what? Murder. Luke 1 verse 15 says, you know, that for she shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, right here, listen, even from his mother's womb, which we know here, this is talking about Mary while she's carrying the child in her belly, which is Jesus. But the Holy Spirit filled the child in the womb. That, what does that mean? That means life was already in the womb. When you conceive a child, that's where life begins. It begins at conception, not at delivery, or not when you feel like it should. You know, so we have to look at these things, and we have to begin to speak out and speak the truth. Now, I will throw this out. If you are watching right now and you've had an abortion, we're not throwing shade on you. We're not hating on you. We're just telling you that what you did is murder and it is wrong. But if you, where you are right now, will lift up your hands to heaven and you'll cry out to Jesus and you'll confess what you did and ask God to forgive you, this Bible that we're talking about says that he's faithful and just to forgive us. You'll be forgiven of that. You know, don't go out and do it again. But if you've had an abortion, and when you look at statistics on abortion, the majority of women that have abortion suffer throughout their life with that thought that's always in the back of their mind of what they did. So the church has to begin to speak this truth out and tell people, wait a minute, this is wrong. You know, abortion is wrong. Well, how do we stop abortion? Well, we back it up to 9 months before that man and that woman laid down with each other and had sex. That's where it needs to be addressed. Not once she finds out she's pregnant, not once she gives birth to that child. We need to teach morals and values so that they don't get put in that situation. Well, I'm just not ready to have a child. Well, if you're not ready to have a child, you're not ready to have sex with a partner. I mean, it's just that plain and simple. You know, it's not rocket science, but we've been taught to believe a lie so that we, and this wokeism, and now even churches are not standing up and speaking the truth. What happened to abstinence? What happened to these things? You know, none of us are perfect. You know, we're going to all make mistakes. But when it comes to sex and relationships between a man and a woman, there is the possibility that a child can be conceived. So when you're here at this place with sex, you have to have that understanding. If we conceive a child, we have to be ready to raise that child, because if not, and we abort it, we're committing murder. And a lot of times that's what's happened, you know. And we won't get into the whole other dark side of abortion. We might do that some other podcast. But, you know, we have to understand, even the Bible says that I knew you, and you know, before you were formed in your mother's womb. I like what one guy, he used this analogy. When I get on an airplane and I'm flying from one destination to the next, while I'm inside that big tube that we call a jet airplane, is my life any less valuable then than when I get to my destination and I go out into the airport, you know? And I begin to think about that, and it was a good analogy because, you know, when we have these big airline crashes, I mean, it's tragic because there's loss of life, you know? But when you look at it that way, they're in a tube. They're in a tube, and they're just going from one destination to the other. Well, that's the same thing with the womb, because God said, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. It's just a place that transfers our spirit and puts it into a body to come into this world. So yes, it's just as important in the womb as it is when it comes out, you know? So we have to begin to look at those things. And, you know, moving on, the next one, number three, that, and this is a big one, I believe that the woke style church has gotten wrong, is love. It's been one of the most misunderstood, mistaught things in the Bible that I've ever seen, because Jesus is love. God is love. There's no other definition of love, pure love, true love, than God himself, Jesus himself, you know. But when you begin to look in a lot of these churches now, we preach this fluff, I call it, you know, it's where there is no condemnation, well, not condemnation, but conviction. There is no repentance of sin. There is no accountability of the things that we've done wrong, you know. And because of this, now we have churches that have no backbone, churches that don't stand up and fight, churches that won't stand against, you know, the things that is going on in this nation and speak the truth. Those things, you know, now with the woke version of love, if you don't agree with that person, you're automatically a racist, you're a bigot, you're a homophobe, you're a male chauvinist. It's all these things. When on the flip side of that, like I said earlier, they just call it the age of enlightenment. We have to look at things different. You know, society's changed. Yes, society's changed, but the word of God has not. You know, so there's a lot of churches that are going this route so as not to affect their attendance in a negative way. Because, you know, well, Jesus just loves everybody. You just do the best you can, and brother, you know, you're going to sin, and we're all sinners saved by grace. No, I'm not a sinner. You know, well, you know, brother, we're all unworthy. No, I'm worthy. Why? Because I'm in Christ, and I've read the word, and the word says I've been justified. I am righteous. I am worthy. I am holy. So why do I have to go through that? You know, when I miss it, there's something in here tells me, hey, bud, you just missed it. And I'm quick to repent, ask for forgiveness, and I'm restored. I'm justified. What is justified? Just if I'd never sinned. It doesn't give us a license to sin. It's learning to live a lifestyle void of sin. You see, Jesus lived on the earth, and he was blameless. He sinned not, the Bible says. But yet he was tempted in every fashion, every way, like known unto man. So there's not a temptation that you or I have ever faced, and we failed, that Jesus didn't conquer. And if he can do it, he came and made a way so that if he could do it, we also could do it. And I thank God for that. And I thank him for his grace and his mercy that is applied to my life. But grace has been mingled in with love to give it this thing where it's like it just lets us slide through life. Don't worry about anything. Now, grace is power. You know, it's the ability. His grace is God's ability so that I don't stumble. And if I do, I have the ability to rise up above it, to get above it, to go past it. You know, and I believe that these things is things we begin to see. They circle back around a lot of this left-wing wokeism, and they end up canceling themselves out. But, you know, we have to look at what is the Bible's definition of love? And when I was looking through this, I began to look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. And he says here, there's neither, and this is talking about in Christ, the way God views us in Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. Now, when you're talking about Jew or Greek, you know, I believe we're looking here. He's talking more about, you know, your nationality. That takes care of the racism. You know, when it says you're neither slave nor free, I believe that's talking about like your socioeconomic status. You know, you have your poor people and your middle of the road people, and then your rich elites. You know, the poorest person in the world financially, or looking at it from a socioeconomical standpoint, the poorest person in the world, if they have Jesus, God views them the same way he would the richest person in the world that has Jesus. There's no difference there. There's no different effect. God loves them both the same and everyone in between. And then he went on and said, there's neither male nor female. Well, there'll be people, see there, there's neither male nor female in Christ, so we need to accept transgenders. No, what this is talking about is the things we're seeing now where, well, you know, there's all these male chauvinists, women need to, women's rights, women's rights, women's rights. And while we see some of these things, yes, there's some rights that women need to be outspoken for, but then there's some things it's taking it too far, and you have women trying to do jobs that men should do, and then you got men doing jobs that women should do, and that's how we're seeing all this gender confusion and all of these things. And Jesus is saying here, and I believe this also handles the issue where people want to say that women shouldn't preach, that women shouldn't teach the gospel. Yeah, he said there's neither male nor female. So in God's eyes, there's not male nor female. He just sees one person, one new person in Christ. And then he goes on and says, for you are all what? One in Christ. So we have to look at these things and realize that this woke love, this version of love, is allowing us to look at people in a different light. You know, and a lot of the woke version of love, they like to quote the scripture where it talks about, judge not, lest ye be judged. You know, only God can judge me. They like to throw those things out there. What they don't realize is if you study out the text there where it says, judge not, lest you be judged, it wasn't talking about the sin I'm living in. It's talking about my sacrifice, my offering. You know, but they don't want to study it out. They just grab a scripture that just makes them feel like they can live in their sin and get away with things, and they throw them out. And that's why you have this real weak version of love. You know, instead of looking at the ultimate love, which was Christ and God himself, and looking at John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. How many of us that have children have that kind of love, that we would lay our own child's life on the altar to save a lost and dying world? You know, I think we would probably all fail miserably, you know, but that's the kind of this weak, woke love that they're trying to push, is just let everybody continue to live. There's no accountability. There's no correction. And the Bible says that God chastens, which means corrects, or disciplines, those that he, what? Loves. You see, true love, you can't have true love without discipline. You can't have true love without correction. You know, so if you're watching and you say, well, God's never corrected me, you might want to check what your relationship with him is, because eventually he's going to correct you, and he does it in an amazing way. You know, because what? He gets you back on the right path. So we have to look at how love is defined and how love is addressed. Now, the topic number four, which is the one I jumped to a little too quick, was in these woke churches, this new lie that's coming out is that Jesus is not the only way to heaven. This is a rapidly growing trend this belief that Jesus is not the only way. I didn't write down the person's name. It was a church in New York. And this is a church with about 10,000 members. It is a Protestant church. But they have come out, this minister, and said that he has begin to realize that each person's journey is different and that each person makes their own path and way to heaven. And that, you know, there was another lady minister, which if they made these kind of statements, they should have their minister license or whatever you want to call them revoked. But she said that Jesus was not the only way. I want you to listen real close to how stupid this is. She said, Jesus is not the only way to heaven because God is not a Christian. I mean, how, you can't make this, if you tried to be that stupid on purpose, you couldn't do it. I mean, you could not do it. These people are so deceived and trying to sound so woke and enticing to whoever. And see, the problem with that is it may feel good while they're living here on the earth. Oh, I can live and not get corrected. I can just live however, and I can explore my own sexuality, and I can explore this avenue of life, and I can go here and do this, and I can do that, but I'm still a Christian. And these people, sadly, tragically, are living their lives thinking that everything's all right because of what their pastor said. And then when Jesus comes, they're going to get left behind. They'll still be here. You see, the problem is there's only two paths. There's the path of the righteous. Then there's the path of the wicked. And there's a lot of Christians have got on the wrong path because they've read the wrong signs. You know, they've listened to the wrong voices. So there's a path to heaven, which is the road called Jesus. Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I am the way to salvation. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, that's man or woman, no man comes to the Father except through me. It is impossible. There is no exceptions. There is no backdoor pass. There is no secret tunnel through some portal that somebody's found somewhere that you can enter into heaven unless you have come through the Son, Jesus Christ. You can try to word it any way you want, but there is only one way, and that way is Jesus Christ. You know, so any of these people that's trying to preach there's multiple ways of salvation and multiple ways to heaven, they're preaching lies, and they're not of the Father. Their father is Satan. Well, yeah, but my preacher, he's a good man. Well, there's good people going to hell every day. I mean, you can't, you know, if you're not saved, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and ask him to forgive you of your sins, you will not in any way, shape, or form make heaven. It's just not how it works. Because why? Because the Bible explicitly tells us Jesus is the only way. So that should settle that. And then number five, the last one, is the attack on the biblical definition of family. You know, we have a lot of people in these homosexual relationships and transgender relationships that are raising children that's been adopted. Yeah, I'm not against adoption, but I don't believe that two men living together should be able to adopt a child. Why? Because that child is getting a perverted view of what the family unit is supposed to be. Same as two women. Two women should not be able to have or adopt a child because that child is getting a distorted view of what the family unit is supposed to be. You know, and the other thing about family that's being attacked so hard, you know, when you look at divorce, you know, a lot of people now get divorced for whatever reason. It doesn't matter. They don't look at biblical truths about divorce, and how it's just, you know, because every show you watch now on TV and everybody, you know, wants to live like the Hollywood elite because their lives look so great. They've all been married 15, 16 times, you know, and well, it's just, we just fell out of love. No, you didn't just fall out of love. You fell out of lust. That's the problem. Their love was never there. It was just lust. And you got married because you lusted after each other. And I know some people don't like that, but that's just the truth, you know. But the family unit, biblical family unit, has been attacked. And now you have majority of men not in that family unit. You have majority of women having to raise children on their own. Then you have women that have, you know, to work two and three jobs and do the best they can to make ends meet, and they struggle. Then they have to depend on the government to help assist them because the dad won't pay child support. And then once these kids get in all these government programs, now the government has become the parent and not the man and the woman. And then not only with that, you have that larger push now with the LGBTQ alphabet group, you know, and they're trying to come against the biblical definition of family, you know. And then when you go even further and look at our open borders and what we have coming across these borders, you know, there's massive numbers of children coming across this border, our southern border, and these agents are saying, and I've seen some of them say it in tears, over 300 and something kids have been found in the last few weeks, and they cannot rightfully identify who their parents is or guardians that they came across with. And most of these children are being taken into sexual slavery and never seen again. Why? It's because we're not protecting our families by protecting our borders. And you say, yeah, but what does the Bible have to say about all that? Well, I'm glad you asked. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, he says here, if anyone, well, who's anyone? That's anyone. That's everybody. Does not take care of his own, especially for those in his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel or an unbeliever. And the things that we're letting across our southern border, these terrorist cells, that we know it. It's not something that's a secret. Everybody, it's been talked about on the news, these gangs and all these drugs, fentanyl, and all of these different drugs and all these terrorist groups coming across these borders. You see, the men, we're not standing up, and women, we've got to stand up. That's protecting our family, is to shut down that border and control who comes in. There's nothing wrong with people wanting to come to America. Just do it the right way. You have to be vetted to make sure. And somebody, well, Jesus would let them in. No, Jesus said right back up there in John 14, he was the way, the truth, and the light. You see, no man can come to the Father except through him. That's what you call extreme vetting to get into the kingdom of heaven. And when you go on and read about heaven, there's high walls and gates, and there's only one way to come in. Well, what's wrong with us having our borders that way? Because the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, that if we in our own household, we don't protect our own, then we have denied the faith and are worse than an infidel or an unbeliever. So you see, we have to restore the biblical definition of family. Majority of churches run 60% women and 40% men, and that's on a strong side. A lot of churches are even worse than that percentage-wise. It's the majority women and very few men. Why? Because men have been taught that God is a crutch, and men have been taught, well, I can do everything else. I got to go play golf. I need to go fish. I need to go do this. I need to go do that. I don't have time for church. I'm a man. If I go to church, if I cry, or if I sing, I look weak. No, you look anything but a man if you're not in church. The biggest push is if we can get men back in church, like a pastor friend of mine said a few Sunday nights ago, if we can get men back in their position spiritually, then these churches will become strongholds that the enemy cannot penetrate, and we'll begin to protect not only those inside our church, but we'll begin to protect this nation against the onslaught of the enemy. So just remember these five lies that you may see in some woke churches, with number one being marriage, number two being abortion, number three being the misrepresentation of love, and then number four is one of the big ones that's very important about Jesus is not the only way to heaven, when we know according to Scripture, Jesus is the only way. And then number five, my last push here before we close, for you men that are watching, you be the first ones to get up on Sunday mornings. You be the one that says, no, we're going to church this morning. Why? Because when you stand up in your place as a man and lead your family to the house of God, then the devil cannot destroy that family. Why? Because it's being led biblically. And you'll begin to watch things change. You know, I'm not saying even as my kids got older, my kids are not perfect. They made mistakes. They still make mistakes. You know, but what my kids did understand is I don't care what you did Saturday night, because when your kids get older and become teens and drive, you can't be with them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they're going to do different things. But my kids understood, without exception, it was not up for negotiation. It was not in any kind of discussion. Sunday morning, you're going to church. And you say, well, yeah, but that's being a little hard. No, we don't live in a time where we can be light. Because if that's the problem, we've been so light in our families coming to church that the enemy is sneaking in. He's creeping in. And he's destroying the family unit that God has created. So pay attention to these things. Be mindful. Be praying, you know, about these things. And as you study out the Scriptures yourself, the Holy Spirit will always show you what you need to receive at that particular moment out of those Scriptures. But mainly, just read the Bible and take it for what it is. It is, you know, a powerful, living, breathing word that every time you read it will speak life into your life, and it will light up the situations. The Bible says that the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You cannot go wrong doing the way God's word says do. And then when it's all said and done, if you're doing the word, when that trumpet sounds, the next thing you know, you're going to be in glory standing at the feet of Jesus. And boy, what a time that's going to be. So guys, I appreciate we had a great crowd again tonight. Again, I apologize that we had been out, but we're back on. I don't believe we had any problems. Things are running smoothly now. So we're going to get back on here on a weekly basis, and we're going to, you know, expose lies. We're going to speak truth, and we're going to step on the devil's head every chance we get, because in the end, we've already won. We are victorious because of the finished work of our brother in Christ, the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself. Guys, thank you for tuning in. We love each and every one of you, and pray God's favor and blessing be upon your life. And if any of you are on here right now and you need healing in your body, just lift your hands right where you are. And the Bible says that he sent his word and he healed them. We speak right now into this camera, into your life. If you've lifted your hands in the air, we curse diabetes, we curse cancer, we curse tumors, we curse any kind of deformities, any effects in somebody's body. We curse those things, and we claim the stripes, according to Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, that was placed upon Jesus's back. And he said, by those stripes, we are healed in Jesus' name. That means if you believe that, if you prayed that right now by faith, you have to have faith to believe that those words in that Bible are true. You are right now are present tense healed in the name of Jesus. Guys, if that touched you, if this podcast touched you, reach out, let us know. If you liked it, hit the thumbs up. If you didn't like the podcast, that's fine. Let us know. Hit the thumbs down. But if you did like it, do us a favor and hit that share button. And then in your social media, right before you share it, just put up in the something quick. Hey, guys, watch this. You know, say something about what it meant to you, and then share it on your social media so your friends and those that you follow on social media will get a chance to experience some enlightening things as we look into the Word of God. God bless you. We'll see you next week.